It's so good to see everybody here. Family camp is so exciting to see folks that we know in other parts of the world are doing the Lord's work. We all are together in spirit, assembling together in spirit every Lord's Day. It's so exciting knowing that we're all one in Christ and doing His will. Earlier this week, I was looking at some videos from past family camps. I always like to catch some of the singing because it's so encouraging to hear all these voices. But as I always go round and around with my camera, get myself a little dizzy just so I can get all the singing and all the pictures. And one of them in particular was when we were singing, "When All of God's Singers Get Home." And right as we were singing that part, I was going by this part and I saw Miss Judy there. And I was just thinking, boy, she's singing it, and she's home and she's singing. And so I find sadness and joy in that. It's so interesting how we can do that. As I looked around, I saw so many people that it was their first family camp, because maybe they had recently come to Christ and become Christians. And to see them there and see them still faithful in the Lord and that and still coming back, that brings me great joy. Seeing a lot of people who were here but couldn't make it this year just because of different circumstances, but knowing that they're serving the Lord where they are, a little bit of sadness, as maybe even some of the faces that I see have decided that they're going to try some other options now besides the Lord. That breaks my heart a little bit, but it makes me want to pray, and I really believe that the Lord can do mighty things with everybody. Amen? And we just need to keep praying and keep encouraging. So family camp is just a good time of reminder. It's a good time of encouragement. It's a good time of thinking about that. You know, when all of God's singers get home, to think about heaven. I mean, when I think about heaven, when I think about eternity, it makes everything here worth it. Amen? It just does. All the difficult things that we may face. You know, our theme this week is the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And you know, Jesus is the great revealer, isn't he? He's showing us things that we need. We look in the book of John, and you know, no one's seen God at any time. But the only begotten God, what has He done? He has what? Explained Him to us. He's the great revealer. You know, Jesus once said, "No longer do I call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends." Now again, some people get that mixed up and they take it out of context and they make Jesus just allow everything when they say He's my buddy, He's my friend. But Jesus explains what that means. He says, "I've called you friends because everything the Father has told me, I've made known to you." He is the great revealer. We are in very good times nowadays. We are very blessed to be in the times that we are, because we know what God has intended, everything He's intended through the years. Now, God hasn't been silent. Even though there were a lot of things concealed in the Old Testament, was God silent? He wasn't. He, in bits and pieces, and of course we have the benefit of knowing how all these things were fulfilled, but he did make prophecies. He made declarations of His plan. It was always there, not just of Jesus, not just of what we would call end times, but boy, he told about His people. He told about His church, didn't He? It was always there. And it was tough, because we read in 1 Peter, you know, the prophets, you know, the Spirit of God told them these things, but they searched intently to know what this was. Things that even angels longed to look at. You know, they didn't have the understanding. They would long to know what we know and see the day that we see now. And they look forward to that. So I'm thankful that the Lord, even then, but you know, the people who were looking, they knew something was up. Even when Jesus was coming, there were those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. They knew something was happening. They knew, even though they didn't quite understand how God was going to do it, they were looking. And those were the people that God went to. And so I'm so thankful for that through the years, the faithful people who were looking forward, who were expecting the great promises of the Lord, you know, they may not receive what was promised, but they were looking forward to that. They weren't made perfect, but through what was revealed to us and what was accomplished for us. So we're thankful that God's always been the communicator, but He's done it in such a way so that when Jesus came at just the right time, we would be ready to receive the message. So I'm so thankful that we're able to be in such a time as this. Galatians chapter 3 is my main text tonight. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Galatians chapter 3, 10 through 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. You know, there's so many ideas I had when Mr. Wilson gave me this text and the corresponding Old Testament scriptures that go along with it. So many things that a lot of us already know. And so as I was praying about this, I was just praying, Lord, help me to maybe have a perspective that is going to be meaningful to me as I grow in Christ, but maybe talk about some things that maybe in different places the Lord has revealed some truth in the Scripture that would be beneficial, that we can build on the knowledge that we already know. So that's where I'm going tonight. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to live by them. No one wants to be under a curse, right? Nobody wants to be cursed. And the Lord declares that every person who does not abide by what is written in the book of the law is cursed. Now, being cursed is bad. Now, I even have to say that. But I went ahead and looked it up in the Hebrew and the Greek. The words there involve the idea of strict and sure judgment and condemnation. And by the way, you might be tempted to read in the scripture, verse 10, therefore, as many as are under the works of the law. You might be tempted to think that we're just talking about the Hebrew people here, the Jews. But I want you to understand, and I'm sure you do, but all people are under this curse. Even the Gentiles who are not under the law of Moses, they are without excuse. The Apostle Paul tells us that through nature, through observation, the world understands a lot about God. And even what they know, it can become a law unto themselves. And everyone breaks that law. They break what has been revealed to them. So what is the solution here? Nobody wants to be under a curse. How are we going to fix that? Well, actually, the solution is quite easy. It really is when you think about it. When you think about your kids, you tell them, okay, if you do this, if you throw rocks in the parking lot, you're going to get a spanking. So what's the easy way not to get the curse of a spanking? What's the easy way? Don't throw rocks. Well, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Pretty easy. So the solution would be simply to abide by all things written in the book of the law. Do it. Pretty simple, but not necessarily easy. You see, that's exactly what the children of Israel were told to do. You abide by those things. Turn over to Deuteronomy. I'm so thankful I can say that. You know, when I first became a Christian, it took me months to say Deuteronomy correctly. And I'm like, I know I'm going to say it incorrectly tonight. So thank you for that one answer prayer. And we'll just keep this. So Deuteronomy. I'm not going to tell you how I used to say it, because I think if I say it once, I'll be stuck with it forever again. So I'm not even going to tell you what I used to say. Verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm. 27. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, there were a lot, you know, we're not going to read all this, but if you go back to the beginning of chapter 27, you're going to find out that there were a lot of positive promises associated, a lot of blessings associated with doing the works of the law. However, there were a lot of specific things about what you shouldn't do. Not just everything, but the Lord wanted to make this clear. Let's just look at a few of them. Look at verse 15. Cursed is the man who makes an idol or a molten image, an abomination to the Lord, the works of the hands of the craftsman, and set it up in secret. And I'm not going to say this every time, but after that, all the people were to say what? Amen. Now, when you say amen, that means, so let it be, I'm in agreement, okay? Now you have to understand, this is kind of a contract going on here with the people and the Lord. Now you're going to get these blessings, but don't do these things. Okay, blessings. Okay, you're telling me not to do this. Oh, amen. We want those blessings. That's what the people were supposed to say. Well, let's just keep that. Cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother. Amen. Cursed is he who moves his neighbor's boundary mark. Amen. Cursed is he who misleads a blind person on the road. Amen. Cursed is he who distorts justice due an alien, orphan, and a widow. Amen. And it goes on with some of the more intimate sins there. Down in verse 24, cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret. And all the people say, amen. Cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person. And all the people should say, amen. And if you keep reading, you're going to find out there's some explanation on the blessings. But then the Lord, you know, commands Moses and the priest and the Levite and all of them to start even talk about more curses if you're not careful. There's all kinds of things that are going to happen. And, you know, the people are like, sure, that's great. We'll agree to it. The interesting thing is, as you think about that, it seems like the people were really excited about the blessings. I love the blessings of the Lord. How about you? Really excited. I got some amens there. You're like the people of Israel, you know? All the people. Yeah. So they're saying these things, and you know they're kind of agreeing with it. But it's interesting because we know that every person since Adam and Eve has had a choice with whether or not they're going to obey or disobey God. But mankind's record, even though they really literally have the choice, they can do right or wrong, mankind's record is really not good. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Princess Bride. Does anybody remember that movie? Princess Bride. It's probably the most quoted movie in the world. But one of a funny part to me, which is not even a famous part, is when Princess Buttercup and Wesley are trying to escape their enemies, and they start to go into the fire swamp. And Buttercup says, "We can't go in there. We'll never survive." And Wesley says, "Nonsense. You're only saying that because what? No one ever has." I always laugh at that. Oh, nonsense. You're only saying that because no one ever has. Now, technically, you can't say it's impossible to survive the fire swamp, but no one ever has. And you know, and this is kind of where we are with this. Yeah, people had the choice, but no one ever had. There is how many righteous? None righteous. Not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. People weren't condemned simply because Adam and Eve sinned, or the first Adam sinned. They were condemned because, the book of Romans tells us, because all sin. The Lord saw into the future. That is man's record. So really, when we hear the words, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to live by them, really without any other information, our hearts should sink. And this is kind of where I want to get with, the push of my lesson tonight, or the big point. Because a large part of the curse is not just that there's a curse, not just that there's punishment, not just that there's condemnation, but a large part of the curse is the fact that there is no escaping that curse. I want you to really, we're going to develop that, but I want you to really think about that. Because why would the Israelites find hope in this? Why would they be moved to say amen when they even knew historically about themselves that that's not something that they were really good at doing? Obeying, you know, you do all these things, Lord's going to bless you. If you don't, Lord's going to curse you with all these terrible curses. Amen, we're going to do it. Well, you know, it's good to get excited in the moment. But I wonder sometimes if they really processed what was being said to them. You know, our God is a consuming fire, and He means everything that He says. And so we're talking about some serious things here. You know, why would the Israelites find hope in that? You know, I think sometimes, I think about when I was in college, and when I first went to college on orientation, and they have all these different booths of jobs in the community, you know, different things that you can take advantage of in maybe the new city and state that you're participating in as you go to college. Does anybody ever notice some opportunities that are always there at freshman orientation at colleges. What are some of those things there that give them opportunities financially? What are some of those booths? Do you remember? Credit cards. They're right there. And they're coming and they're saying, we're here to help you. We're here to help you establish things. We want to give you this money. And you know, you wish at times that there was somebody else beside them in every booth to say, you know, these people are not interested in giving you money. You know what they're interested in? Taking your money. You know, and a lot of those freshmen go headlong. I've got credit. I can spend money that I don't have. I can get things that I've never been able to get. And they fall in a trap. You know, why would they get excited? Because they're focusing on the promised benefit without understanding the responsibility that's involved. And it's really important that we understand when God talks about curses, it's really serious. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. You might wonder why in the world I'm going there, but I couldn't help but think about this situation. We're going to read a few verses here. Starting in verse 1. Now, Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel. The king of Aram said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10,000 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now, as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. Now, you look, that sounds like a pretty good deal. Look at all that treasure there. There's a lot of blessings associated with this event so far. I mean, if somebody came to you and they're offering you all this gold and all this silver and all these treasures, you know, that's pretty good. But the king of Israel at least understood what was going on here. Look at verse 7. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. You think he tore his clothes because he hated silver? You think he tore his clothes because he hated gold? You think he tore his clothes because he had 10 changes of clothes? Might as well wear the new ones, so he tore his old ones off. You think that's why he did it? Was it an excitement? No, he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that a man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me. You see, the response required of the king of Israel was to abide by the request. And it came from a person who was able to bless, but it also came from a man who was able to punish and to destroy. You understand that? You know, our Lord is able to bless, but he's able to curse as well, isn't he? You know, it's interesting that this guy, we'll touch on some things he didn't understand a little later, but it's interesting that he understood the severity of the request. The requirement was not to make excuses. You know, well, go tell him I'm not God. He was telling himself this as he was like, what in the world am I going to do? Not to declare his inability. The reward of obedience was great, but the prospect of failure was miserable. It was damning. Can you imagine being given an impossible task and expected to accomplish it? Sometimes these are silly things. I don't know how many times down in my learning center that I had kids look at me during math and say with a quivering lip and sometimes their eyes watering up, this can't be done. This problem is impossible. Not thinking that people had accomplished it many times before them, many years before them. But you see the feeling when somebody thinks that they're being required to do something that they can't do. You know, we adults are like that sometimes. sometimes when I'm hit with a lot of responsibilities, especially when they're all important. You ever been hit with a lot of important things? None of them are trivial. None of them are silly. And you need to have them done in a particular amount of time. Or maybe there would be some consequences that will be harmful, not just yourself, but for other people. There's really a feeling, a prospect of failure in that area can really, really be harmful. And I've been thinking about that with some of my recent health issues that were, some of them were before our accident, and some of them have been even more after a car accident we had. And there have been times when I've been like, I can't get everything done. It's really difficult to process that without faith, we'll say. So why are those under the law cursed? And this is the reason. Because there is a righteousness. There's a righteous requirement involved in the law that cannot be met by those who are under it. Really, that's the case. A requirement. Those are going to be blessed who live by it. Not just who believe in it, but who live by it and do it and perform it. And those who don't, there is going to be a curse. You look at that list again of all the things that they are required to do and things that they're required to avoid, or there's going to be a curse. Those are requirements. And this helps you to understand that that's why the Bible says that the power of sin is what? The power of sin is the law. Sin gains power from the law because the law defines sin. The law puts sin up in everybody's faces. The law, the Bible says, makes sin, and I love this phrase, it makes sin utterly sinful. The law is non-negotiable. The law is condemning. It is not redeeming. The law really erases even opportunity to offer up an excuse. And by the way, that's how every law is. When you start looking at the laws here in Montana, do you see any law that says, okay, if you drive 80 miles an hour down the road, we're going to be very excited and we're going to send you some tax money back because you did the right thing? Any laws that look like that? Any laws that we have that talk about how you're going to be encouraged and blessed? No, laws are developed to say these are the requirements, and if you don't do it, these are the punishments. These are the curses, if you will. And that's why the curse is so serious. The condemnation is serious, but the inability to escape the curse is the part that I'm really focusing on tonight. You know, the Lord never changed His mind about these curses. He never did. It's not that Jesus came and all of a sudden, okay, I'm backing off, no curses anymore. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, sometimes when we read through those words, we don't really take just how serious some of them are. Think about these words. The Lord has sworn and shall not what? Change His mind. You shall not enter My rest. Now, I always like to think that if I do something wrong, that maybe I can persuade someone to do something differently. I can get them to change their standards. I do that with my professors sometimes. I'm taking some classes. I do it with my professors sometimes. Man, I got called up. I know this is the rule. Can you give me an extension on this thing? And every once in a while, they'll change their standards. Oh, sure, that's fine. You've been doing good. Other ones are like, sir, you're an adult. You're 51 years old. These are the requirements. You just need to meet them. And so I just have to nearly kill myself and make it happen. But I am thankful for the ones who will change their standards. The Lord's not going to change His standards. The Lord's not going to say things that are right that are not right anymore. And you know, our culture, even those who claim to be Christians, even those, I'm just going to tell you, that are in where I'm from, the Church of Christ and Christian churches are relatively conservative. They do believe in immersion, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Most of them do. Some of that's changing a little bit, but most of them do. They're a little bit legalistic at times, but even in that group, you know, recently people have started in their mind saying that the traditional views of sin are not really applicable anymore. You don't understand the Scripture. And this is particularly when it comes to sexual sins and all the changing trends of today. People think somehow or another God's going to change His standards based on people's understanding. And the Lord is not going to, the Lord does not change His mind in those instances. And so when we understand this, hopeless people, those who really know and they understand the Lord has declared these curses and they're going to come to me, they never go in a good direction. And that's true. Anytime when you make people think that they're under some kind of curse and they can't help themselves and they can't change the situation, bad things are going to happen. You know, our government does this on purpose. Tries to help people think that they're on a bad road and there's absolutely nothing that they can do about it. I know everybody's responsible to think for themselves, but I can't help but have a little bit of mercy in my heart. I would just say empathy. I have empathy from my heart because there are so many people out there that they vote certain ways because they have been convinced that they cannot make it. They cannot survive. There is no hope for them unless they vote for a particular candidate. And so many of these candidates, they do this, they convince people of that, and the solution that they offer puts them in a heavy level of slavery than they ever were before when they agree to it. Now, I have to understand this. God uses the same tactics, but with different motives and different outcomes. Does God put mankind under the curse of sin? Doesn't it say that in Galatians chapter 3? Aren't they kind of in the jailhouse of sin? Doesn't He allow that to happen? He does that, but He does it so that they may receive the promise. He does that so that they can live. He wants people to understand that they're hopeless, but only because they are doing things on their own. He provides an answer. For those who understand the curse and they understand that they are in this jailhouse of sin, they are drawn to Christ through the gospel. And this next part is my message, but I want you to understand that I understand it. We all understand it. We become righteous by our faith in God. We are born again through the Word, through faith. Christ, as it says, you know, in our text, my text was just through verse 12, but go ahead and turn back to Galatians 3. I just want you to see it. Galatians 3, we stopped at verse 12, but look at verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, God didn't take away the curse. God set up a way in such a way that Jesus took that curse for us. God didn't change His standards. God was very merciful. So He did this. And of course, He provided the way. He provided the way of salvation. Again, revealed. I'm so thankful that we don't have to, that we, I noticed that Mr. Wilson left off the course to at the cross. And I don't know why he did that, but I can guess. Because did everything happen at the cross? Something happened at the cross. A lot of good things happened at the cross, but many more things. If all we had and all the knowledge we had was that Jesus died on the cross, that wouldn't help us a lot. A lot of people died on the cross, didn't they? A lot of people died on the cross. We need to know why He died on the cross, but we need to know what happened afterwards. We need to know that He came out of that grave. We need to understand that He ascended into the glory and seated on the throne, offered His spiritual blood, cleansed the holy place, and also sprinkled our consciences clean. He did all these things. And not only that, remember the whole point here is God reveals. Can you imagine if God told us that, but He left it up to us to how to figure out how to apply that? You know, what made me come to the truth, or at least the background, wasn't just that somebody came up to me and said, Phil, you need to understand, you've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, repent of your sins, confess Christ as Lord, and be obedient by being immersed in the water for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. All that's true. But there had to be some groundwork laid for me in my mind through different circumstances in my life for that to be meaningful to me. And one of the things that really helped me to hear that was the fact that different people in my family and different people that had different influences in my life, they all believed something different in how you received salvation of God. And I would say, well, why do you believe this? And they would tell me, but there was never any direct scripture. There's just vague scripture. Well, tell me why you... Then they would tell me why they, the other groups, would tell me what they believed about salvation. But that never any clear scripture. So I'm like, why in the world would God do all this? And have you ever asked yourself this question? We're talking about God being the revealer. Why would God do all that He did without revealing to us plainly and clearly how to make it effective in our life? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It'd be ridiculous. So He came and he revealed to us very plain and clear ways how we come to that. So yes, all these things are true, but that is not, the thrust of the passage that I'm going to be focusing on, the passage that was assigned to me. So we are no longer under the curse. Yes, because we have the righteousness of Christ. Yes, because He took on our sins so we could have His righteousness. But we are also no longer under the curse because we are able now to actually do the will of God. You see, it's one thing to know that there's a curse out there and that it's going to be applied to you and that that's horrible and you need to know it, you need to come to Christ. But it's another thing to know that you can actually do what God asks. You can do that now. Over in Leviticus 18:5, which is another one of my assigned scriptures that come that refers back to Galatians, Leviticus chapter 18, and verse 5. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgment by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. Is the Lord interested in a people who are able to actually do His will? He is. You see, that's part of the curse. The curse is not just the judgment. The curse is you can't escape the judgment. You can't do what the Lord wants. The people had such hard hearts that they would not do it. You see, God is creating the people who actually can do His will. See, this was concealed in the Old Testament. Do you think people realized? Do you think the people of Israel realized that they had a bad record? Don't you think they knew that? Don't you think if they were honest and they looked back, they understood the bad record? Even the ones who were trying hard. Yeah, Lord, I'm the only one left. Yeah, when you say stuff like that, you understand there's a bad record that's going on here. Prophet Isaiah said things like, our righteous deeds are as what? Filthy rags. They understood the record. They understood where they were. So it was concealed in the Old Testament, at least to a certain extent, that God was going to make a people who could actually do what the law required, what He required. It was concealed, but it was there. You know, I feel like in about a third of all the messages that we hear, we go to Ezekiel 36, but I just want you to see it. Ezekiel 37 is so exciting because we see the dead bones coming to life, and that's exciting. That's a part of what we're talking about here. You know, what can dead things accomplish? Nothing, but live things, especially someone who has been raised from the dead, someone who has died to sin and come back to life. They can accomplish a lot. You want somebody like that on your side. But the Lord, man, He prophesied in Ezekiel several places, but Ezekiel 36:22, you know, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I'm about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from your filthiness and from all your idols. And that's good. The Lord cleanses us. The Lord forgives us. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. That's wonderful. Soft, moldable hearts. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. And this is the part that that I want to emphasize. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. The Lord had planned a people who could actually, through His Spirit that was within them, through their new heart that He gave them, could actually do the will of God. You know, when I think about the requirements of God, people who don't understand this, by the way, have a couple of choices, at least in my experience when I talk to them. People who understand that they can't do what the Lord says. And most of them, they're right, because they don't have the Spirit. They haven't been reborn. They're not new creations. When you most people out there who claim to be Christians, and so when they say we can't do that, in many ways they're right, because they're not Christians, and they certainly don't understand the principles of the Scripture. But usually there's a couple of directions they go. First of all, they just go and they say, well, we're going to try our best, but we know that we can't do it, and we're just going to depend on the mercy of the Lord, because we're just weak sinners here in this world. They go in that direction, and they just kind of trudge along, trying to do their best, saying, you know, just going to depend on the Lord, but we know we're never going to actually please Him. The other group, they kind of go the opposite direction. Well, you know, we're talking about grace here. You know, we're not talking about the works. We're not talking about doing good things. So we're just going to trust the Lord and do whatever we want to. Now, they don't always say it like that, but that's what it ends up being. We're going to do whatever we want to. We're not going to try our best, because sin is sin, right? You know, you sin this way, you sin that way. We're all sinners. We all depend on the mercy of the Lord. So don't you tell me that I can't do this, because I know you got some struggles that you're not telling me about. And so nobody tries. Nobody even tries, because they don't believe that they can. You see, that's part of the curse. But you see, God has created a people who, through the grace and the mercy of God, are actually able to do His will for the sake of His name. By the way, if you ever brag about what you think you're doing in Christ and what you're able to achieve in Christ, well, there's a good chance you're not being truthful with yourself. And there's also a good chance that your motives are really, really off, that you're going to be blinded by a lot of things. You know, He leads us in the path of righteousness for what reason? For His name's sake. You know, that's the reason that I want to. And again, our passage says, not the righteous are just, we are justified by faith, right? Yeah, faith in Christ. But the righteous also do what? They live by faith. They walk by faith and not by sight, believing that the Lord is able to accomplish in them what He has proclaimed. And the Lord has proclaimed a lot. The Lord's claimed in the book of Colossians that we can please the Lord in every way. We can please the Lord in every situation. That's encouraging to me to know that I can do that. That's encouraging to me when maybe I face something that I've struggled with, maybe for a long time, and to know that the Lord says, you can please me in this situation. I walk by faith, I can do that. I don't have to have the curse of saying, yeah, there's condemnation out there, and I can't avoid it because I can't do the will of the Lord. You know, I can love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. You ever think about that? We say that, and it's really pretty words at times, but do you understand the challenge of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength? You think that one's tough? How about loving your neighbor as yourself? Woo! Yeah, there you go. You know, but we can do that because the Lord, we believe that we can be able to do that. I can forgive those who wrong me. I can do that. I have the ability through Christ to overcome. I can overcome a sin that's been beating me down for years. You know, my favorite story about this is the guy that I worked with. He had struggles for years. I immersed him into Christ. And I told him, anytime you have a problem, call me and we'll pray through it. We'll work through it together. You're not by yourself anymore. And I wouldn't really expect it. Not everybody takes you up on that, you know. They just don't. It wasn't too many weeks later that he called me in the middle of the night and said, you didn't know this, but I'm a cocaine user, and I'm trying to stop, and I feel like I'm about to die. I need your help. So I went over there, spent the night with him. He actually got through sweating all night. He was up 3 a.m. sanding cabinets. He just said, I just got to do something. He said, I don't want to live this life anymore. I knew through the power of Christ I can do that. As I was up, I was dozing as he was sanding. And he would say, I need you here with me. I need to pray. So we'd stop and pray. He was sanding. He was keeping himself busy. He got through the night. He was so excited. The second night, he called me back. I'm crazy, you know. No sleep. Called me back. I went over there, spray painting.
middle of the night, all of the spray paint in those cabinets. He said, sweating. I want to take these drugs so bad. You don't understand, Phil, just how it is. And he says, you told me that I can stop. You told me that God can help me stop. So we prayed and he worked and we prayed. The third night, he was trying, this is interesting, he had some other jobs he wanted to do, but he was trying to find the equipment and he couldn't find them because he had sold them for drugs earlier that year. Some of his equipment. So we just spent a lot of time talking and praying, but you know, by the third night, at the end of that day, I was like, I'm not going to make this, Lord. I'm not going to do it another fourth night. But you know, he stopped. It's interesting when people realize that they can. And they realize that the Lord is with them. And sometimes the only way they're going to realize that the Lord is with them is if you're with them. Okay? You're with them. You see, we walk by faith. We believe that we can do things. We believe that we can do the Lord's will and please Him because He said we can do it. We believe that the Lord gives us strength to do this. You know, we quote tritely sometimes, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. But do you understand how powerful that verse is? That verse teaches us that the curse is broken. Cursed is everyone who does not live by what is written in the law. And really, cursed is those who are not going to follow the Lord. Now, the Lord, I know you understand what I'm saying here. The Lord is merciful. You know, if we fall, the Lord picks us up. Those who have faith and keep their eyes focused on Jesus, and they're moving in an upward direction. But it is a process. As we know that we absolutely can't. If I don't believe I can do all things of the Lord, it gives me strength. I'm going to say, well, the only way I can do it is through my own strength. And guess what? I fail a lot on my own strength. That's part of the curse. Part of the curse is not just the condemnation. It's just there's no escape from it. There's nothing I can do. It's there. The Lord's not going to change His mind. How am I going to? You see, over in several places in the Scriptures, but over in Psalm 110, the Lord also talks about something else He's going to swear to do, and He's not going to change His mind. Does anybody remember what that is? What's that? Yeah. The Lord has sworn and will not change His mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You see, the Lord's not going to change His mind about His standards, but He's going to change His mind about His provision. Or He's never going to change His mind, but He's going to develop that provision. He's going to make a way. And so, even the Lord doesn't change His mind about the standards. He makes one who is there, a spiritual high priest, who is never going to die, who is based on an indestructible life, whoever intercedes for us. Not only does He intercede for us, but He helps us. He's always there. The Lord has sworn that forever. And He's not going to change His mind. So it's not just that He intercedes for us in the midst of our sins, but He intercedes for us and He helps us so that we can actually withstand the temptations and overcome. Now, I want to add so many things, and I'm never good at timing things, and I always go over. So when I got to this point, I was like, you know, I just need to stop here just for a second. I want to encourage you. There's so many things that I could have said about this. I could have gone just through basic doctrine here, and I feel like I have hit doctrine, but one thing that I want you to know, that this really means something, because I know when I talk to people one-on-one, and by the way, when you talk to people one-on-one, whether it's non-Christians or Christians who are growing, that's when you know what's going on in people's hearts. When you sit down and you talk to them about their lives, about their marriages, about their relationships, about the situations at work and what they're going through, the temptations in their life, that's when you know people's hearts. And there's a lot of Christians who really want to move forward, but their experience over and over has almost made them so discouraged that they feel like they can't overcome. And I just want to encourage you that if you feel like this is just my lot in my spiritual life, that I'm only going to be able to get so far, you're hanging on to part of what the curse is. Not just the condemnation, but the idea that there's no hope and there's no escape. You know, when the angel declared, He shall save His people from His sins. I'm so thankful that the Lord didn't just say He's going to save His people from the consequences of their sins. Because somehow or another that might be encouraging, but it's not, you know, being saved from the consequences of your sin is only an encouragement to those who want to love the world and love God at the same time. They think they can do both. That's the only people who are just focusing on the consequences of sin. Yeah, I don't want the consequences of sin, but you know what? I really want to please the Lord. And it has, and I think about my Christian life, the times, the things, there's certain temptations in my Christian life. You know, back in 1992 when I became a Christian, boy, I became that not just because I wanted forgiveness, because I wanted to please the Lord. And I had not pleased Him for so long. And it was so exciting. And by the way, the reason that I accepted the new creation wasn't because, just because somebody proved it to me through the Scripture. There's a lot of people that try to prove a lot of things. They did. It was proven to me. But it was because, you know, we talk about looking for seekers, those who want the Lord. But even those who maybe have, through faith, done what the Scripture said, they've been immersed, they believed it was for the forgiveness of sin, they believed it was for the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people out there who are miserable because they really want to please the Lord and they don't think they can. That's part of the curse that's hanging on. And one of the reasons I know why the new creation made sense to me, besides the fact that the Bible clearly teaches it, is because I was so tired of disappointing God. And I'm so thankful that some people think that this is bragging when people say this, but I think we ought to share these things. So I'm just going to tell you some general things. There are things when I came out of that water back in 1992 that were such a temptation to me that are not a temptation to me now. They just aren't. There are things that I did for years after that I do not do now. Because God not only saved me from the consequences of my sin, but He saved me from my sin. And He gave me the ability to change my destiny, if you will, through faith in Christ, to live and walk by faith. And so I just want to encourage you, if there's some things you feel like you can't let go, know that you can. If you feel like you've tried and tried, maybe find somebody that you trust, that you can talk to, that's not going to go and talk, that they're going to talk with you and not about you. That you can talk to and be encouraged and be reminded of these Scriptures, because that curse is not just the consequences. The curse is actually being a slave to sin. And aren't you thankful that what the law could not do, Christ did? He created a people not only who were forgiven, but a people who could actually keep the righteousness, the righteous requirements that God asked, and could actually please Him and do His will. And I'm just so thankful that God gives us the hope, not of just wallowing, seeking mercy, but never moving forward. But He's given us the hope. He's given us the blessing of actually being able to be a part of His kingdom, a productive part of His kingdom. And that we no longer, as the book of Hebrews says, we're not bound. He's cleansed us from these fruitless works of the law. And He's cleansed our consciences so that we can actually serve the living God. We can do it. And so for that reason, the Lord has made it possible that those of us who walk by faith, we are not under the curse of the law that hinders us. But through faith, we walk in Him. We please Him. We can do His will. And that gives us all hope to move upward and forward, thanking the Lord and praising Him for the ability to do His will and to glorify His name through the righteous works that we do through His power. Thank you.